Hey, how you doing?
All right.
And me too. I'm Paul Roszewski. Thank you for spending another midweek moment with the Wisconsin property taxpayers. Before we get started, this week's episode is sponsored by Eminent Domain Services, a law firm dedicated to defending Wisconsin property owners who are involved in eminent domain and other property rights issues. They've had cases involving transmission lines, roadway projects, and pipelines, all the way to property tax and special assessment appeals. They are the experts in fighting for Wisconsin property owners. Contact WPT for a referral as a benefit of membership, or visit them at WisconsinImmanentDomain.com. Well, hey there. Thanks for being here. Let's get things started by getting you set up for the week. We're still getting those brief tastes of spring weather every once in a while and getting outside. Well, you don't have to wear a winter jacket. It is a pretty nice treat. Looking ahead, it's worth finding a way to celebrate National Good Samaritan Day on Thursday. And always popular is Pi Day on 3/14. And to cap it all off, Sunday is Everything You Do Is Right Day, which can really be left open to interpretation. So please celebrate responsibly. This week, we have more trivia. Quote of the week this week is from another U.S. president, this time POTUS number 40. You think you know who it is? Well, we shall see. But before we get there, let's jump into some news together. And let's start with something most everyone is familiar with, unless you live under a rock. The Department of Government Efficiency and the efforts to reduce waste, reduce spending, reduce the size of government. Actually, today, we heard that about 200,000 either unnecessary or inactive government credit cards have been canceled. That you got to respect, but that's not what I'm interested in. For us, it's the state-level version of that committee. In Wisconsin, it's called GOAT. Usually that acronym means the greatest of all time, but in this case, it's called the Government Oversight, Accountability, and Transparency Committee, and they held their first meeting on Tuesday. They invited the department heads of five different key departments, as well as Jay Rothman, the head of the University of Wisconsin system, as speakers, and this is how it went down. Each person had a prepared statement about workforce and office space utilization. Then the committee members were able to ask questions to them, follow up or clarifications, whatever. And on a side note, I am a little disappointed that the word efficiency isn't in the name of this committee like it is at the federal level, because the first hearing took about 5.5 hours, and how easy would it have been to make fun of how inefficient the efficiency committee is? Anyway, let me sum up the intent of the hearing. We all understand and realize and know that when COVID hit, a lot of companies were scrambling with distancing and shutdowns and all sorts of stuff. Lots of decisions got made just on the fly. Let's get stuff done. Well, now that we're a bunch of years out, where are things at? What stuff did we allow in the moment that's still going on that really doesn't need to happen anymore? The government is like any other large organization that is navigating going back to in-person work. The committee is trying to get the questions answered. How many people are working full remote? How many are hybrid? How many are coming into work 5 days a week? How do you know? How's this being tracked? Is the remote work officially part of their employment? Was it an expectation when they were hired? Like, there's lots of stuff to navigate. Here are some of the things that I learned. Many employment agreements need to be renewed every year, and there's a bunch of them that aren't. They're just flowing along with existing contracts. Being able to work remote is supposed to be put in writing in those documents. Those were some of the findings in an audit that was done and reported on about a year ago. The committee wanted to know what progress has been made on any of the shortcomings that the audit found. Interestingly enough, one of the findings was that about 150 employees live about 2 or more hours away from their office, which would make it really hard to commute in for hybrid work 2 or 3 days a week. Same with the UW. There are about 650 employees that live, or their mailing address is 2 or more hours away. It's asking the questions about what are your people doing and how do we know how's all this getting tracked? The simple answer was that some have put more into it than others. I thought this was also interesting. The embattled and very criticized right now Department of Public Instruction has really done a good job of addressing this from what they were talking about. They gave an option actually a while ago to remote work employees that they could choose to be in the office. They had to be in the office either 2 or 3 days a week. The people that opted for 2 days in the office had to accept the trade-off of losing their dedicated desk. People that chose 3 days per week also got better parking privileges than the 2-dayers, which I think probably influenced some of their decision and encouraged people to be back in the office more often. Because they could adjust accordingly, Public Instruction was able to eliminate an entire floor in Madison that they had been using, so reducing their footprint. Good for them. They also really were solid on cybersecurity. They use multi-factor authentication. Even they go so far as they have geofencing set up around the border of the United States. So that way, if one of their employees goes on vacation and is traveling internationally, their entire account access is completely shut down until they return. This first meeting was the baseline of oversight and accountability and asking for proof of how things are being operated. Hopefully, although they don't have efficiency in their name, they move quickly on getting answers and implementing solutions. In other news, just when you thought maybe we were past drama around ballot counting and elections, we get sucked back in. I was so hopeful because just right recently, actually, I saw a headline that said, audit finds Wisconsin voting machines had zero errors in 2024 election. That's good news. Well, unfortunately, there's also this news. About 200 absentee ballots were found uncounted in Madison. Well, the Wisconsin Elections Commission is deposing election workers to figure out what exactly happened. I bring this up because 4 of the voters whose votes didn't get counted have filed a class action lawsuit against the city of Madison. What are they suing for? To get their votes counted? Well, no, because the ballots wouldn't have changed any of the outcomes. Are they suing for accountability or to hold someone accountable? No, that's already being taken care of. What are they suing for? They're suing for money. For $175,000 each, which is interesting because by law, $50,000 is the maximum amount of a class action lawsuit against a municipality. This reeks of being a cash grab. Well, right, but not according to their attorney. The goal is to reinforce and strengthen the right to vote in Wisconsin, and nothing will strengthen the right to vote for all Wisconsinites than taking taxpayer money and stuffing a pile of it into a few people's pockets. Of course, what is going to strengthen this is getting answers to why the Madison elections clerk didn't notify anyone of the problem until over a month after the election and well after the results were certified and official. Well, that's underway. And on another side note, the official has been given the suspended with pay treatment, and as this gets investigated, if the process to get a solution is underway. Exactly how does this lawsuit help anything? Well, according to that lawyer we just heard from, quote, "When the people's votes are not counted, when the right to vote is violated, our democracy is diminished." Well then, the question to ask yourself is, are you part of the problem or are you part of the solution? And finally, I leave you with a quote from the 40th President of the United States, Ronald Reagan, who said, "We don't have a $1 trillion debt because we haven't taxed enough. We have a $1 trillion debt because we spend too much." Have a great second half of your weekend. As always, thanks for listening. The Wisconsin Property Taxpayers Inc. is a nonpartisan membership organization consisting of thousands of small business, farm, and homeowner members in every I don't need to wear a winter coat loving corner of the state. Founded in 1985, the organization is committed to providing its members with up-to-date information, legislative advocacy, and exclusive cost-saving benefits. Find out how to join at wptonline.org/join.